Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. So, watching the British Open in the background, Shane Lowry at minus five is actually leading now. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray today. Daniel Brown, who was tied with him, fell. The course is winning again today. It was supposed to get a little better. We will break that down more later in the hour. More important things first, our sitcom bracket, the Maggie and Perloff show effort to crown the best sitcom in television history. We're down to the Sweet 16. Now, let me let you in the process a little bit here, Andrew Bogus. There was a three-person committee to have the seating. I came out and said we should just take Rolling Stone's list of top 100 sitcoms and use that to do the seating. EJ said they don't know what they're talking about. Maggie said they don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, okay, so we'll do our own committee. So I did a list, and I called a professional, a friend of mine, Joe Flint, Wall Street Journal, television reporter. He's in Hollywood, knows the industry, is a big fan of sitcoms. I sent him my list. He actually said, okay, I'm going to put it in a Google Doc, has hundreds of words commenting on the seating, and he had brilliant insight all over the place. Everything that people have complained about, Joe absolutely nailed. And of course, because he's a professional, this, unlike me, Maggie, and EJ, Joe is joining us now. Joe, have you gotten a chance to look at the Sweet 16 in our sitcom bracket?
I believe I'm looking at it right now. Yes, yes.
And are you surprised of who has advanced and who has not advanced?
I am. You know, some of these... I'm trying to think of the appropriate analogy to the March Madness team that comes out of nowhere to make it to the Sweet 16 or Final Four. I'm sort of looking at the Jeffersons and thinking, really?
The Jeffersons is killing it. Everyone is voting for the Jeffersons, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from it, but I was surprised, and I'm, as usual, more surprised by what I'm not seeing. It's early in the morning here. Forgive me. I've blown this up. I'm drinking my coffee and looking at it, but then looking at my old Google notes you just kindly mentioned, and I am wondering, you know, again, like, what the heck? Where's Mary Tyler Moore?
Got killed.
I'm missing that. Yeah, I'm just surprised, and obviously, who knows, if you did it again today, maybe Bob Newhart would get a little love. But it's so hard. It is very hard. And what this list shows and what you sent me shows too, you know, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder cliche. And a lot of people love The Simpsons, and I would never take anything away from the brilliance of The Simpsons and the impact it's had. But as I mentioned to you in that note, I just feel its longevity has hurt it in a way. I just don't feel like, I feel like if ever there was one that maybe after 10 or 12 years should have said, okay, we're out of here. It's that one. But that's me. I just don't feel like, I feel like the longer it goes on, the more you see the gap between what I consider the great, like, first decade, we'll say, and everything that's followed. But Seinfeld, Cheers, MASH, it's really hard to argue against those three.
The classics.
Rising up. Yeah.
Now, Joe, your friend Andrew has, since we started this, he keeps saying that his bracket was the best suggestion, that it was better than what we ended up with because of the intervention of EJ, our producer, and the co-host, Maggie Gray.
EJ is the one who insisted Family Matters be in there, just so you get an idea, Joe.
But I need you, since I think Andrew was using your opinion as his support, did you actually like his initial suggestion as much as he seems to think you did?
Well, there were some things I took some issue with. Again, I go against the grain there. With regards to Friends, a fine show that I think has sort of been elevated, that's been punching above its weight for the last several years, thanks to Netflix and the rebirth and everything. Again, some of it comes down to taste. I think some of these are fine shows, but the 70s show is another one I'm surprised to see moving up as far as it has. And then there's the other problem, too, with some shows that, are they comedies or not? We just had the Emmy nominations. The Bear got 23 nominations for Best Comedy. I do a lot of things when I watch The Bear, but laughing usually isn't the
right.
So I really like Atlanta. It's innovative, and I guess it's a comedy, but I'm not sure if there needs to be almost a second category for those sorts of shows that don't fit into any box.
And along those lines, Joe, this singular question almost broke the show up. Mm-hmm. Is Saved by the Bell a sitcom?
I don't know. I think I always viewed Saved by the Bell as a very long public service announcement.
Exactly. Exactly. We're talking to Joe Flint, Wall Street Journal. Just real quick to wrap up the sitcoms, I'm going to give you some matchups. You tell them. I'll just do the Sweet 16. You tell me who you think looks really dangerous. We have one Simpsons against four Jefferson. That should be Simpsons. Then 14 Family Guy against two The Office. Are you aware of the Family Guy cult out there? Do you think Family Guy has a chance?
I was not aware, if there is a strong cult, maybe. I would think The Office has become so popular that that should be easy. Slam dunk win for The Office. But, you know, who can account for the everlasting charms of Steve Urkel?
Not Family Matters, Family Guy.
Family Guy, my bad. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, me neither.
And you know what I think helps Family Guy? I don't know about you guys, but I go on Instagram all the time and I watch these Family Guy clips that clearly I don't think ever actually aired on the show because they're even over the top for that show. But that is a show, too, that I think has just, you know, because it's so topical and so current, it has, you know, really sustained itself. My apologies to Seth MacFarlane for confusing him with Family Matters. My bad.
We have a dangerous 11 seed, Married with Children, which goes up against Friends. There are a lot of people who think Married with Children could move up.
I always thought that Married with Children was an underappreciated show in the sense that it really was. It was a groundbreaking show at the time. I mean, primarily because it was rude, it was raunchy. But it also, you know, if you cut underneath it in the same way as Roseanne, what was it also about? It was kind of about a struggling, you know, working class person and their frustrations with the modern world. Now, obviously, Roseanne went a lot deeper and, you know, really dealt with some issues, whereas Married with Children just kind of looked for the joke all the time. But it wouldn't surprise me. And you look at, here's the other thing. I mean, I know no one thinks about this really when you're judging these things, and you shouldn't because you're just looking at the show. Look at most of the cast of Married with Children. They've gone on to do some really good things.
Definitely.
Ed O'Neill, Family Guy. I mean, you know, just you caught me here.
Yeah.
Family Guy.
Katie Sagal, singer, Christina Applegate.
Katie Sagal, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Christina Applegate with the Netflix, Dead to Me. I mean, they've had really good post careers too, which I don't know if you should factor that in or not, but it is that was a very talented cast.
Okay, last matchup. I want your opinion on Curb Your Enthusiasm versus It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Now you're in LA, you're in the TV business. Is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, that holds a special place to a certain group, like I'm from Philadelphia, but is that a popular show out there in Hollywood? Because I don't know if the public is as into it, like it has big ratings or anything like that.
Well, it certainly is a popular show in general. I mean, again, talk about longevity. It's, you know, becoming one of the longest running sitcoms of all time. And I would just, I know, you know, I'm not, look, I loved Curb. I really felt the last three seasons of Curb were not very good, to be honest. I thought that Larry David's character went from being someone who annoying things happen to someone who creates annoying incidents. And he sort of began to lose his charm to me as someone who's sort of befuddled with what happens to him versus someone who goes out and just seems to create anarchy for the sake of anarchy. And the sporadicness. I mean, obviously, Always Sunny is very, very consistent every, you know, every year. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Well, we're taking a decade off and then we'll be back. So, I don't know. In Hollywood, if you took this survey to your point, I think Curb would win in a runaway. But I think if you did it, you know, a nationwide vote, not the electoral vote, but the popular vote, mm-hmm. I think Always Sunny would probably win.
All right. I'm looking at the notes you sent me, but we should love this. Joe had a lot of notes. We had Alf was a 16 seed of first. Joe, you wrote, I think Alf can be cut. Who talks about Alf nowadays? You don't go around talking about episodes of Alf?
I really don't, unless Alf appears in some very dark nightmares.
Award-winning journalist commenting on, I'm making you comment on Alf. I love it. Hey, a quick sports media question. Bill Belichick has gotten a number of sort of smaller gigs. I wrote a column ripping him, saying I don't want to see Bill Belichick all of a sudden, after years of being mean to the media, all of a sudden be part of the media. Do I have a leg to stand on in this argument to say that he's being a bit hypocritical to now embrace his role in the media?
Well, you know, I admit I'd much rather watch a dating show from Belichick. but I hear what you're saying, and it is funny. I mean, you know, we've always heard for years and years that, you know, Bill, you know, oh, off camera and practice, Bill Belichick's the funniest guy in the world, really, you know, really great, fun guy, when all we ever got was on to Cincinnati and next question. That said, I think he will be, from what I've seen so far, he has the potential to be good. So I guess I'm a little bit willing to forgive, and hopefully if he does get more comfortable with it, maybe he'll talk more about why he was the way he was with the media. But I do understand the irony of a guy who pretty much disdained an industry for decades, now looking to cash in from it.
You're a Washington football fan, right, Joe?
Long suffering. Yes.
You know who? Did I ever tell you about when Joe Gibbs yelled at me?
No.
Talking about a guy who is
camaraderie. What are you trying to get Joe Gibbs mad? I mean.
Hi, I met him at a game. It was actually an Ohio State game of all things. I think he's friends with somebody. I said, "Hi, Mr. Gibbs, our coach. I work on the Dan Patrick Show." And he looks at me, grumbles, "You guys don't talk about enough NASCAR," and then turned away.
Oh, that would do it. Yes.
I was like, wow. And you beat my team for 20 years, and now you're not being nice to me. And I don't think Joe Gibbs, he never was good as a broadcaster, right? Did he do it?
No. He did try it a little stint and was not good. I mean, you know, Joe Montana wasn't great in the booth. I mean, there's been a lot of people who step in and then they can't, you know, do the thing where they have to be critical. And they can't hold back, and that becomes tough. And that's why I'm going to be curious about, you know, Brady. If he's going to be able to go there or not. Certainly, the Apple series, I thought he showed real personality there, and of course during the roast. But we'll see if in fact he ever ends up in the booth. What did I see now? He might want to go play it down in Canadian Football League or something.
Wait, what?
I swear I saw it on X, so I don't take it seriously. But yes, someone suggested that maybe he just wants to go at least play one down in the CFL.
No, thank you. Joe, if I could just go back to the original part of the conversation about sitcoms and whatnot, because we also spent time this week about like the state of sitcoms, right? Like where are the edgy ones? Where are the ones pushing the boundaries? Where, if anywhere, are those shows these days right now in your estimation? Or what shows are out there?
I think you have to... You know, most of them are going to be on the streaming services, whether it's, you know, the Hulu, Netflix. I mean, the sitcom business has always been very, very tough versus we've seen what's happened to dramas in network TV. There's a formula you stick to it. You know, it's the FBI in this town. It's the fire department in that town. It's a hospital in this town. But yeah. Comedy is obviously much more challenging. So I think that's why you do see the bigger risk being taken on a Netflix or a Hulu. But that's also why the bar has gotten so wide for what's a comedy. I don't mean to pick on The Bear. I think The Bear's a great show. I just think of it more as a drama. I'm a huge fan of the show Slow Horses on Apple TV.
Oh, that show's
drama,
so good.
More laughs in Slow Horses than The Bear.
That's true.
Yeah. Comedy.
How about The Boys on it? We were talking about The Boys on Amazon. It's disgusting, terrible, but that's a comedy. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, that's you know, certainly that's, you know, it has its fair amount of laughs for all the, you know, mayhem going on around it. But I do think the more innovative comedies are on the streaming services. I mean, I'm not taking anything away. Abbott Elementary obviously broke through on broadcast TV and is more of what I would call the traditional vein. But otherwise, I just think the streaming services where they're not asking someone to write 24 episodes a season also lends itself to more, you know, a better product.
All right, Joe, thank you for your help with this. I'm trying to educate people here. I will let you get back to Instagram videos of Stewie making fun of people, like, because he's fake family guy videos, which I am going to look up right after the show is over. So, Joe, appreciate the time.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That is really interesting stuff. That's Joe Flint, Wall Street Journal. Really fun. You know what? This sitcom bracket, it's just making everybody mad. But we got to also get back to that ESPN.com list of top 100 athletes since 2000, because that also makes me mad. Feel like that committee process was flawed, just like ours. I mean, kind of like the fact that we put kid shows like Saved by the Bell in our bracket. I mean, ESPN did their version of that. We'll talk about that next. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. You can watch me and Andrew Bogus, who's sitting in for Maggie, on the Infinity Sports Network YouTube page. We look average at best. No, we're doing good. Or you can listen to us on
many affiliates. Average at best was fair.
Yeah, it's weird. We're not really sure what's happening out there in the world. There's a gigantic technical outage. Hopefully you're hearing us on one of our many, many affiliates. I was on in Boise yesterday. Bogus, your territory. I know you love them.
Love it.
They like to make fun of me because I would spent 2 weeks out in Elk City, Idaho. It's my favorite place in the world. Population 179. No one fit in less than me. It is an incredible, beautiful place. I kind of wish I was there today.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. You go to Boise and like everyone's like half cowboy and not like, and it's like, I can't do anything outdoors. Like,
I don't need
to be on a river and I can't catch a fish. No. I'm not going to shoot anything. It's beautiful, but it's not. I'm not the target audience of what Boise has to offer for the most part.
No, oh, it is so beautiful though. Anybody can enjoy it.
Oh yeah, but I'd have to learn all of their entertainment value because I don't ski, I don't hunt, yeah. I don't fish. They do have hockey and obviously great football.
Oh my God, they have a million things to do. But there's a big art scene. There's a big music.
Oh, I mean the great restaurants, but like the outdoorsy stuff. That's not my specialty.
I'm obsessed with this survivalist show called Alone on the History Channel. There was a new episode last night. Wow. This guy killed a moose and he had to preserve the meat and it was too warm to keep it outside. And a mink got into his meat cache and ate the whole thing. And he had to fight off the mink with just like a rock. And I was thinking I would survive 4 hours out there. They do about 300 days.
So I like speed watched the first like 3+ seasons of that.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It's amazing.
But the fact that people still show up and go home on the first day was mind-blowing to me. And then it got weird because people knew the first season was the best, in my estimation.
The guy afraid of the bear, yeah.
But like, it's just people didn't know what to do. Yeah. Then people showed up having watched the show.
Yeah.
It's like all of my stupid Bravo shows. Like, the first season of Below Deck is the best one because no one's doing it for TV yet.
Right.
And as it goes on, people know they're supposed to act like this. They're supposed to be jerks. They're supposed to not be jerks. They're supposed to date their coworkers or not. These guys know I need to have this. I need to have that. So like when you show up prepared for it, it like changed the dynamic of the show to me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, we've had a lot of TV talk. Can we get a few sports in here? Dexter Henry.
Yeah, I got a couple things. Although I want to check that out.
Yeah.
That sounds
please.
Good. I got to check that out.
It's very fun. Give us some sports, though.
Kevin Durant, ramping up to play with Team USA. And according to The Athletic, Shams Charania, Durant is expected to return to Team USA practice today in London. It'll be KD's first practice with this Olympic team. Now, Durant has been sidelined with a strained calf, could make his debut in the upcoming exhibition games, either versus South Sudan on Saturday or Germany on Monday. College football news. Bobby Petrino is back with Arkansas, this time as an offensive coordinator. And on Thursday, Razorbacks head coach Sam Pittman said that he knew hiring Petrino would be controversial for a number of reasons, but he believes bringing back the former Arkansas head coach was best for the program. Now, college football fans, they'll recall prior to the 2012 season, Petrino was fired in wake of a scandal after misleading his bosses about an affair he was having with a female staffer whom he had hired. Petrino, popular with the fans in Arkansas when he coached from 2008 to 2011, led the Hogs to 21 wins, top 15 finishes in his last two seasons. We know they're coming off a season where they struggled 4-8 last season. Pittman says that he knows that the talk around Petrino will be that he's on the hot seat and the narrative that Petrino could take his job if he was to struggle. So I ask you guys, was this the right move in hiring Petrino, or did it just make the seat hotter for Pittman?
Well, right or wrong, there is really nothing you can do that someday you won't get back into college football. This is, I mean, I was fair. So not surprised. I would have told you, like, yeah, it seemed bad.
What took
for
so long?
It seemed bad for Petrino, but I've seen so many of these scandals where guys get back.
But it's weird to go back to where it happened, right?
The scene of the crime?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Like, imagine the Dolphins wouldn't have hired Nick Saban again.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I guess what you're saying, but
that's obviously different.
Petrino's a good. I mean, listen, I get the hire by Pittman. I didn't really think as much about the hot seat part because that is legit. He is under some pressure.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would hope that Petrino would be a good enough coach. If like the offense does well, then Pittman should keep his job.
Right.
So I think he needed to take a risk here. It's hard to compete in the SEC.
Yeah.
I get it. I would have taken this risk because I think the hot seat was going to be there one way or the other. At least maybe Petrino gets the offense going. So I'm okay with it.
All right. Okay with that. According to federal records, reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson, he's challenging Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman's use of their shared number 8 in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office complaint. Now, Jackson, who owns or has applied for several trademarks using the number in various phrases, says Aikman's attempt to use 8 on apparel and bags would be likely to cause confusion or cause mistake or to deceive the purchasing public as to whether they're buying products from Jackson or Aikman's company. Now, through his attorney, the Ravens quarterbacks filed 2 appeals. I will not bore people with the legal details of that, but made me think about this, guys, because when you think of the number 8, do you think of Aikman or Jackson, or is there another athlete that first comes to mind when you think of the number 8?
Well, for me, I think of Gary Carter because he's my favorite player growing up. But
really?
That's a niche answer. I think this is the dumbest fight I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And we live in dumb fights. This is over the number 8?
Yes.
It doesn't seem fair that you could trademark number 8.
Like, agreed.
Can I trademark the word from? I mean, what the heck is going on here?
You can trademark sense. You can trademark a lot of different things.
It's idiotic. Actually, I'm not great with numbers, but a couple. Here are the Hall of Fame.
8 comes before 9 after 7.
Here are the, which player wore which number, jerk? Andrew Bogusin for Maggie. Okay, here are the Hall of Famers with number 8. Troy Aikman.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
At 8, 9. Ray Guy. I don't think of Ray Guy. Larry Wilson, former Cardinals DB, right? I think. I don't think of him. Steve Young. No, that's a big number 8.
Yeah.
Do you think of him in football just before you think of Aikman or Jackson?
He's a better player than Aikman, and he's probably a little better than Jackson, to be honest with you. So I think you got an argument. He's a greater Hall of Famer. I think Lamar will make the Hall of Fame. 2-time MVP, but Steve Young won the Super Bowl. And correct. If Lamar never wins the Super Bowl, he'll never pass him. That's fair, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
The other 2 Hall of Famers, I did not know. Morton Anderson. You definitely don't think of him as number 8. longtime kicker. And Tommy McDonald. Tommy McDonald, I believe, was an Eagles wide receiver.
So you're just looking at football, correct?
This is, right. Okay. I'm just talking about football.
Gotcha.
Baseball, like, did the great Yankees get up to number 8? I always think low numbers.
Well,
I think
in baseball,
Yankees.
I think Cal Ripken.
Yogi Berra.
That's the first person that comes to mind.
Yogi was 8? Okay.
Yeah.
Cal Ripken was 8? Okay.
Yeah, Cal Ripken was 8.
Is Kyle Bowler number 8 as a Raven?
He was number 9, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Kyle Bowler, how did he get in this conversation?
I don't know. That just happened in my head. I guess where there's like room for Lamar to be angry about this is if he has a weird 8 logo that's specific to him that Troy is too close to. But like, I don't know how you, like you said, I don't know how can you own the number 8 and its usages on like a duffel bag or a sweatshirt or a hat?
Right.
I don't get it.
The one thing I had here is because Aikman is listed as one of the directors of FL101. The owner of 9 trademark applications for the use of 8 on a variety of consumer products, beer, beach towels, energy drinks, also bags and some other stuff as well, too. So, yeah, I just think it's interesting. You said, what'd you say? You called it a dumb fight?
Oh, it was dumb.
A dumb fight?
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. It's totally dumb.
Yeah, I don't think many people are thinking about 8 in the back.
Actually, we have time for one more quick one. Then we have our guest, Jimmy Traynor from Sports Illustrated, coming on.
I am out, unfortunately. Oh. So, unless you want to talk about 8 anymore.
All right, then that means it's time to get back to dumb lists and sitcoms. And when I think of dumb lists and sitcoms, one of the first names I think of is my good friend, writer for Sports Illustrated, host of the SI Media Podcast, Jimmy Traynor. Jimmy, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I want to start, before we get into my sitcom list, ESPN.com Top 100 list. Now, you and I used to be in the same office, and we would throw around dumb opinions. But if I came in one morning and say, Michael Phelps is the greatest athlete of the last 24 years, you would have told me I was an idiot, right? You would. Are you buying this Michael Phelps number one on ESPN's list?
Well, all right. So, first of all, I'm never going to forgive you for making me click on this list and giving ESPN a page view for this.
All right, you win already.
And if you remember when we did work together back in the SI office days, we were always amazed that anytime you power rank something, it automatically got big traffic. And if you remember, we would always say, rank it and bank it, rank it and bank it.
Of course. But of course.
At the end of the day, I mean, this is such a stupid list. It's kind of mind-boggling.
What do you think the incentive of the list, like, how did this list become so random that they're all like Aaron Rodgers is 91. There's a lot of WNBA players on there. Michael Phelps, who on most lists I think ends up below Serena and Tiger Woods and Brady. How do you think? Do you think they were intentionally doing this to stir the pot?
I think you're giving them way too credit. Here's how it went down, okay? Because I've worked for a .com for 20 years. It's the All-Star break. There's no sports going on for 4 days. We need content. Let's just make up a list. That's what happened. And here we are with people talking about this ridiculous list.
Yeah. Well,
it's, I love how they said, like, at the beginning, they're like, it's from the 2000s on, from the year 2000 on. So keep that in mind with, like, Barry Bonds, who had his best years before that. But then he was on the list. And then the list is, like, riddled with all the steroid guys. So, the whole thing was comical.
Well, Sports Talk Radio, Andrew Bogus is sitting in for Maggie today. Sports Talk Radio is the same way. You know, it's not like we have a lot of sports talk, but why do you think we're doing this list, Jimmy?
Right. But
we've been doing it for 3.5 hours, Jimmy. You're our second guest on the list.
I'm criticizing them, but we all do it. I mean, I was going to do a list of, like, the top 10 NFL broadcasters a couple of days ago because I had nothing to write. So we all do it. I would hope we try to make it a little bit better than this list.
One thing I can guarantee, if you write that, I will be the first person to click on it. In fact,
I know.
You have to write that. Where's Belichick on your list? That's been a big topic today. Is Bill Belichick going to be a good broadcaster?
Haven't you had enough of Bill Belichick this week? Are you in enough trouble?
I would say it's one thing to have, you know that there are people in our industry who are going to hold this against me for years to come.
But your proof of everything I just said. Slow week, no sports going on, middle of summer, football's not here yet. Oh, this guy writes a column about Bill Belichick, can't be a broadcaster. And every website in America picked it up. Good for you.
Yeah, the timing was good, except that you have to remember there are real people in this industry who work with Bill Belichick who do not like that kind of criticism. But why am I the only one? I feel like I did not get a good reception. Like, this guy's been a jerk to the media for 20 years, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be in the media, but he's been particularly obnoxious.
Well, but I think that's part of his job as a coach is to make sure the media is not a distraction.
Right.
So,
I don't really,
I mean, listen, is being on Inside the NFL really being part of the media?
and weekly on the McAfee and also on the Manning cast.
He's not going to criticize one person.
No, because he wants a job.
Right, exactly. So I don't really count him as part of the media. He's a sports personality. I would couch it that way.
Jimmy, you interview some big names on your media podcast. Do you think you'll get Belichick? Are you going to put in a request for him?
I will put in the request. I highly doubt he's going to do it, but you never know.
How about Saban? Have you talked to ESPN about maybe getting him? Because he really is a part of the media now.
I have to say, maybe it's because I'm a New Yorker. I don't have, like, the Nick Saban get on my knees, bow down, and genuflect type of thing for Nick Saban, and I can't really say I have any desire to interview him. I mean, I kind of think he's a jerk, but so I don't really like to interview jerks. So I don't feel that way about Belichick, which is bizarre. But I had never seen Belichick like hit a player on the sideline because he was angry, like I've seen Saban do. So I'm just not into Nick Saban at all.
Well, along those lines, while Perloff writes about Belichick, I'd write about Saban because I can't deal with this hokey. He's never seen a computer before. He just sent his first text. Like, I need he can be good on TV, tremendous coach, obviously. They're going to name the field after him at Alabama. But I need to stop being told that he just discovered, like, 1989 technology.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just, to me, he's a bizarre human being. When I see someone go crazy like that on the sidelines, I'm like, really? It's not, you know, that important, but.
Jimmy, talking to Jimmy Trader, Sports Illustrated. Yeah. You interviewed Tom Brady. I know it wasn't a full-length interview. What was your impression? I know you have interviewed your heroes before. It seemed like I listened to it. Like, Tom seems kind of like a cool guy, like easy to work with. What's your sense so far in just your limited time talking to him?
Yeah, I don't understand any of the negativity towards Tom Brady because we saw that once he got out of New England. He does have a very good personality. I've never heard a bad word about Tom Brady as a person. His teammates love him. I think he's going to be a great broadcaster because I think if you're the greatest player who's ever played or the greatest quarterback who's ever played, you're seeing things that no other person sees. Mm. And if he can bring that across to the viewer, that's going to be a really good viewing experience. So I'm looking forward to him in the booth. I think he's going to be good in the booth. I interviewed him once before in person, but this was like 100 years ago when I was doing Hot Clicks. Mm-hmm. He couldn't have been nicer. Mm. I mean, nicer to me than, you know, C-list athletes. So I get people don't like Tom Brady because he's had so much success and he's beaten every team. You know, if you're a fan of any other team but the Patriots, he's destroyed your team for 20 years. So I get the hatred of him from that standpoint. But from a personality standpoint, where's the negativity? Like, where is he a bad guy? Where is he? I think we've seen nothing but positives out of Tom Brady from a personality standpoint.
Do you think he'll be there for the entirety of that contract, or does he get disinterested, something else pops up? What do you think his long-term future is?
I think it's really, really hard to say someone's going to be there for the entirety of a 10-year contract. I mean, so many things can happen. I don't see him, like, going into coaching. He's got this weird, bizarre ownership thing with the Raiders. Who knows what that's about? But listen, I think he's going to be really, really good. I don't know him enough personally, what his, you know, personal life is like to say, like, yeah, he's doing this for 10 years. But I mean, 10 years is a really long time. So I would say no if I had to pick yes or no on that.
Talking to Jimmy Traina, Sports Illustrated media reporter. Okay, Jimmy, I know you have a lot of opinions on television. I sent you over our Sweet 16 of the Maggie and Perloff Show sitcom bracket. We still have all the number one seeds alive. Seinfeld, MASH, Simpsons, Cheers. We got Friends going against Married with Children. We got The Office going against Family Guy. What is your favorite sitcom and who do you like?
Okay, so I have a lot to say about this list.
Okay.
You know, I think you guys did a really good job with the field. I didn't see too many. I saw maybe a handful on there. I was like, this should not be in the field. So from that standpoint, great job. You left out one of the best sitcoms of all time, though.
What's that?
The Larry Sanders Show.
Oh,
did I miss it? I didn't see it on the list, I don't think.
I was furious. So it was a three-person committee. I had it as a five seed, and honestly, I would put it's one of my top five shows of all time. I didn't understand. I just could not convince Maggie and EJ that it was a great show, and I to this day, I have no idea why.
Right. So I understand what the popularity is in America as a country. Friends isn't even on the same level as the Larry Sanders Show when it comes to a television show. Friends is Friends is a two seed, made me want to vomit. I mean,
but it's popular. We did count that.
Right. Well, if you go by popularity, a two seed is more than fair. But I don't understand how you give Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is my favorite, which would be my number one, a six seed.
What? So you take Curb over Seinfeld?
Well, Seinfeld would be my number two.
Yeah, I knew you liked that. Cheers, any of the old shows? Cheers, All in the Family.
Love Cheers. The criminally underrated show, you had it at a 12 seed, which probably might be fair, but it's a criminally underrated show, is Taxi. Taxi, for me, is a top 10 sitcom of all time.
Well, yeah. Jimmy, you need to be best friends with our producer, Pete, because he wanted Larry Sanders and he wanted Taxi, so he's back there basically swooning over your picture right now.
Yeah, Pete can come on my podcast anytime because
don't get carried away, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That to me is a smart TV viewer right there. If I'm being honest, complete disrespect of the Honeymooners. This is like a top five show of all time, and you have it at 14.
You guys are soulmates. Wait, Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Alf being in this bracket?
Well, should not be in the bracket.
Okay, fine. All right. So there's the one thing. He's not your perfect soulmate, Pete. But three out of four is not bad.
With the ones that were left off, Alf should be out of there.
Jimmy, I don't know if you've ever met Pete Pilati. Pete, where are you from originally?
On Long Island.
Yeah, Jimmy's from Long Island, yeah. You guys have the same source material.
I mean, if you're taking it, I understand age is a factor in all this and generational, but like Lucy and the Honeymooners have to be one, two, or three seeds, just if you're going off of, and MASH, I guess. MASH, most watched sitcom of all time at the finale.
Yeah.
Those are basically my notes on the list. And right. I hate America for thinking Friends is like a top five sitcom of all time. I can name 50 sitcoms better than Friends.
What did you think? The big debate was, should Saved by the Bell be on the list? And I think you were a fan of Saved by the Bell.
It absolutely should be on the list.
But it's a kid show. It's a morning for most of us.
You just told me Alf is on the list.
It's not Alf did not make the list.
No, Pete wanted it on the list.
It's a kid's show. I don't know. Did you have Boy Meets World on the list?
I know. I don't think any of those shows should be like.
I want to know the logic of Curb being a 60. That's the one that really got me.
There is no logic.
No, because we didn't want to put the HBO shows too high because we kind of gave the network shows an advantage. Because we think HBO has no rules. They don't have an audience.
That's an interesting take. That's an interesting spin on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I also thought when I saw Veep at six, I thought Veep probably should be a little higher. Veep is a great show,
There was sort of a bias against some of the shows that are on cable and have a different set of rules. All right, Jimmy, we are out of time. So you're voting Curb to win it all. If you could go to Ed, Maggie, and Pearl and vote, by the way. We have two more weeks of July, man. Who knows what list will come up? You got to put out that broadcaster list.
I'll do it before the NFL season. So the problem with me putting out that list is I need those guys to come on my podcast. So if someone gets snubbed and they don't come on, and I get screwed.
Dude, you think I had problems with my Bill Belichick thing? You have real problems. Yeah. All right, Jimmy, great to talk to you. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care, buddy.
Bye, Jimmy.
Oh, man. Well, you know what that means. We have one segment left. Enough time for the Pete Pilati Invitational Tournament. Pete's sitcoms are coming up next.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Okay, we have our Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket out there. We're at the Sweet 16. Voting will be Monday. The four number one seeds, Seinfeld, MASH, Cheers, and Simpsons are all still alive. Couple double-digit seeds, Family Guy and Married with Children, making a lot of noise out there. Now, Pete Pilati has had issues from day one here. Andrew Bogusian from Maggie Gray. You, of course, are not surprised that Pete had issues.
Pete always has issues.
So, Pete, we let you do your own bracket. Actually, we didn't let you. You told
did
us
my
you
own.
Were, yes. Yeah. There was a let it. So, where are we in the BIT, the Bilotti Invitational Tournament, live from Dayton?
The bit is at eight, the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. We had basically all of the ones advanced to the Elite Eight except for one, which was Full House. That got bounced. So the,
wow.
Elite Eight matchups are Home Improvement against the Flintstones.
Okay.
The Wonder Years against Laverne and Shirley.
Yep.
Odd Couple against Welcome Back Kotter. And Three's Company against Third Rock from the Sun.
Three's Company slipped through our bracket. I don't know why I wasn't on there. I had a phone call yesterday. I was explaining this bracket to someone, and they said, oh, no doubt Wonder Years is my overall winner. He said that is a show that talked to me more than any other show. And I said to him, oh, we had Boy Meets World with the other Savage Brother on there. He's like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
And whose fault was that?
EJ.
EJ. I mean, this is the common denominator.
Well, Wonder Years, the issue was, it's not totally just a sitcom. It's I think you could argue it's a little different than your traditional. It's a little more drama sitcom, right? That's fair to say.
You could, but it's considered a sitcom.
But it is weird that he has Home Improvement going against Flintstones. That feels like a strong NIT matchup. Those are big shows.
Flintstones, how many episodes of the Flintstones were there? Do you know?
I looked it up briefly. I'm going to guess. It was like 118.
Really?
I think it was something like that. It was 100. I thought it was.
I would have taken I take the Jetsons over the Flintstones eight times a week.
Well, that was the matchup. The first round matchup.
I should have paid attention to
the
this.
The Flintstones against the Jetsons.
There is no way the Jetsons is over the Flintstones.
Oh, I love the Jetsons.
Fred Flintstone is so iconic. The Jetsons, by the way, it's so funny that so many of those things they had in there now seem so quaint compared to actual technology.
Yeah, but I still want to get on like a moving sidewalk and go through a machine that dresses me. And I don't want to eat my food in pill form. Yeah. I want to eat whatever I want and then take a pill that negates all the bad stuff I just ate.
Have you not been paying attention to what's going on in the world with Ozempic? I think that's kind of happening.
No.
But the flying cars might happen. That I mean, Elon's working on that.
166 for the Flintstones.
Really?
Now, did Flintstones jump the shark with Kazoo, the little green guy that only Fred could see?
Yeah. It would have been.
We call that the mushrooms era of Flintstones.
Probably would have been a three or a two.
I think Flintstones is more iconic too. You ever have a big piece of steak somewhere and go, oh, that's a Flintstones cut, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, the giant.
And
right.
Great vitamins. And
right.
We love Fruity Pebbles.
Yabba dabba doo.
And then they did the John Goodman was Flintstone in a real life movie that
yeah.
was.
Which stunk.
Of course it did. Roseanne was in that too, right? Not Roseanne.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
I will tell you one thing. Fred's wife, what's her name?
Wilma.
Kind of cute.
Cartoon hottie.
Yeah, she was a hottie. She was like the Ginger from Gilligan's Island of this thing.
And Jane, isn't Jane? No, that was the daughter. What was the Jetsons' wife?
Mrs. His wife something?
Elroy?
Jane, his wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to go for beautiful women, your bracket's killing us. You have Suzanne Somers in Three's Company. I got caught in a rabbit hole, by the way, the other day of how Suzanne Somers got fired from Three's Company. It is one of the wildest stories ever. She had a contract dispute, and they made her call in. The plot was that Chrissy called in from her mother, who was sick, and they had a separate set. They wouldn't let her on set. She did the last 2 minutes of every show. Does anyone remember this?
Yes, I remember because I was watching it from the beginning to end, one point in 1 year.
Right.
Like anyway, it was on TV.
That's what you decided to do with your time?
It was on TV at a certain time. So I watched it. And yeah, and then they wrote in new characters.
Yeah, then they had a new Chrissy, which did not work.
Right.
You also have Pam Anderson was in Home Improvement, right?
She was, and so was Debbie Dunning.
Yes, you had obviously hot Wilma Flintstone. Any other?
Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, ooh,
okay.
Anyone else in the BIT?
That was it.
I mean, we had Sofia Vergara in Modern Family.
Yeah. Jack Kay in 227.
Don't forget about Jack Kay.
I said that Flintstones jumped the shark. The Maggie and Perloff show officially just jumped the shark. We did have Jack Kay in 227. No, I get it. I totally get it. That'd be this is the kind of stuff we could do when Maggie is on vacation.
And your favorite Mimi from Drew Carey.
I don't remember that. All right. Well, I hope everyone was able to listen to this, that the tech glitch is not slowing down their lives like it is Maggie. hopefully the country stays afloat. We're back Monday. Thank you to Ryan Botcher, of course, Pete Pilotti, Andrew Bogish, sitting in for Maggie Gray, and to you, the audience. Have a great weekend, everybody.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!